antique bridge. There's just enough room for traffic to get across. We just got off it, made a right, and went alongside the river, and the sun was setting, and it was in the traffic coming towards us, his eyes, I guess the sun setting. And there's one lady coming right towards us over in our lane, and we had to scoot over a little bit, but she went like that and seemed just in time, got back over. But we had a few close calls when we were traveling, and I just thank the Lord for his protecting hand. And we were in Cincinnati, Ohio, I think it is, or right there close by. We were heading up to the zoo up there, but just before we got up there, or we were going to the Ark at that time, I believe. It was in St. Charles, Kentucky. But we were heading along in about four lanes of traffic, doing 70 miles an hour, and some of them faster than that, zipping past us. And all of a sudden, there's a ladder laying in the road, a big ladder. It's probably 10 foot long, aluminum ladder. And I jerked over just to miss it, and there was a car beside me. It had enough room. It seen me coming, I guess, and got out of the way. But missed the ladder, and I was watching in the mirror behind me, and a car behind me hit it, a little car. But next day, we were heading back that way again, and there's a half a ladder in the road. And about 20 miles down the road, there's the other half. I don't know how it got so far apart, whether someone loaded it up and it fell out again or what the deal was. But I counted probably 15 deer along the side of the road had been hit, and we were up in an area where there's a lot of deer up around cornfields and stuff. So I thank the Lord for watching over us. We never seen one come out all the time we were traveling. And seen one bad wreck in the rain. It was just coming down. I think the storm that hit here, it was headed east and caught us out there. And it was getting dark, and it was dark, and it was raining so hard you could barely see where your lane was, and big semis passing us like we were sitting still. And about 5 minutes later, on the other side, there's a divider between us, the land there, and the four lanes going the other direction. There was a semi hit one of those concrete walls, the divider walls, and had a bad wreck over there. And traffic was backed up for probably 20 miles. So Lord was watching over us. And there's one time we were heading home, I think it was from the last night we left. I think it's Tuesday night. We got home Wednesday morning. But we drove all the way from Ohio. We stopped and ate at Cracker Barrel. And then we hit the road again. And we were going to stop in St. Louis, Missouri. And didn't like the looks of the area there. And the sign where we parked in the parking lot said, customers only, you assume all responsibilities. And just kind of gave me the creeps. You know, it didn't look like a good neighborhood around there. So we decided we were going to drive all the way home. So we drove till 3 o'clock in the morning on the way home, and the Lord was watching over us. And I once dozed off, and there was a semi beside me, and I kind of inched over towards him, but I woke up and got back to my lane. But Lord kept us safe somehow all the way out there and back. He's good God. And my title of my message tonight is Entering Into His Rest. And when the Lord created us, He didn't create us to just keep going nonstop. We got to have a time of downtime, a rest. And Brother Joe Gans was talking about how the Lord, He believed that He created everything in 6 days and rested the seventh day, that Sabbath day. And He believed that we were entering close to that 1,000-year reign, the millennial reign, a time of rest. And I agree with all what he had to say, and the Bible backs it all up. And some of the things we've seen on vacation, it was explaining and backing up the same things the Bible says where we went. You know, it was all posted on the wall and the things. It was really interesting and informative, and there was one mural where we went to the Creation Museum. It was kind of like a track that witnesses, you know, it was telling stories, you know, how to be saved and things, and it showed people at the end there and entering into the lake of fire, some that didn't believe and things. It just explained it all along the way. I mean, it was really neat the way they had it all set up. But I thank the Lord. He gave me a good job and good benefits, and I've been there long enough. I get 4 weeks of vacation, but it's just hate to take off if they're so busy. And I just felt bad about leaving where they were swamped with work, but you got to have some time to rest too. In my line of work, you're either feast or famine, seems like, and I've been doing it for a long time. It's always been that way. But when we've been working a lot of hours lately, and I thank the Lord for it. And but anyway, my body, I was needing to rest and getting kind of health going downhill and things. I feel a lot better now, and I think the rest and away from work did me some good. But anyway, we're looking, wanting to enter into that eternal rest the Lord's got for us. And the Lord gives us some warnings in the scriptures, you know, how we got to enter into that rest with labor to enter into that rest. It's like Brother Pepper was talking, you know, you got to strive to get there. You're not just going to coast in there without a fight. And the devil's going to fight us, put things in our path, and try to distract us and get us off track. But I want to be like Paul and have that testimony. I finished my course, you know, and run my race. But in Exodus 31 and 12, this first scripture we're going to look at. And and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death, or whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. And in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. And on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Let's all look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your word, Lord, and for that rest you've got awaiting us, Lord. If we're faithful to you, Lord, and we just pray, God, you'd help us take heed to your word, Lord, and warnings, and God, be faithful to you and finish the work you give us to do, Lord. And we just thank you, God, for all your love and concern and help, Lord, along the way. We just praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And be seated. Thank you for standing. But so the Lord wants us to keep the Sabbath day. He says for perpetual generations. There's no end to it just yet today. Even though this was the Old Testament, the New Testament, it hasn't changed as far as that. The Lord wants us to still take that seventh day of rest, and it applies to us just like it did to Israel. And it's a commandment from the Lord. In the Old Testament, says they shall be put to death if they disobeyed it. And, I know we live in the age of grace, but the Lord still wants us to honor that commandment to keep the Sabbath day. And physically, our bodies change with time. It's no secret for any of us. You know, we, when I was a teenager, I remember I was probably 15 or so hauling hay in the summertime, and Brother Pepper knows what that's like, and got a lot of that. But when I come in after hauling hay from the field, I didn't have to have anyone tell me, go get some rest, you know, go to bed. I went back the next morning early and hit it again. And, you know, I was just exhausted. And my nephew, Adam, he's in a program now, and he's running, and they got him doing exercises and things. And Mom said when he comes home, sometimes he don't even eat supper. He just straight to bed. He's just at it. You know, he's wore out. And I can relate to that. There's many times I've been in that situation where you just go and go and go till you just drop. You know, you just can't go any further. Just push yourself so long. In Ecclesiastes 5 and 12, need another hand. Ecclesiastes 5 and 12 says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. This backs up what I was saying. The laboring man, he gets the bad, he's resting, you know, he's out for the count. And I'm that way. When I get to sleep, you can about walk on me and you won't wake me up, but some people sleep a little lighter. But Matthew 11:28, the Lord gives us an invitation. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it says, come unto me. He gives us that invitation to be a part of his family, his kingdom, and we surrender and come in humility and repent, and we get things right with the Lord. We got that rest. Sarah gave a testimony not long ago. How about when she got saved, she felt a burden roll off of her shoulders and felt like a load left, and I can relate to that. I felt the same way when I was a young boy and got saved, and felt the same, just felt energized. Everything looked new around you. It's just like you're in a different world. And, you know, all the guilt and shame and things like that, it's just gone. And you just feel new and everything looks bright. It's just, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And you are not right with the Lord. You are carrying a load of guilt and things. You know, many times we're not living for the Lord. But he says, take my yoke upon you. So you're getting rid of a burden, but you're taking on another burden. And that burden is the work of the Lord. But it's a much easier burden. It says, learn of me, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So he's going to help us carry that burden when we're laboring for him and ministering and living for the Lord. He's going to help us when persecution comes our way or whatever it is, you know, that gets us down. He's always there to be that friend that helps us. And when no one else is around, many times he knows what we need. And he is experienced firsthand walking in this world, and he knows what it's like. And he says he's acquainted with all of our griefs and sorrows, and he cares and knows what we need. But he's got that eternal rest. And Hebrews exhorts us and warns us of the possibility of missing that rest. And Hebrews 4 in verse 1. Says, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So if it wasn't a possibility, the Lord wouldn't warn us of it here in his scriptures. But there is a possibility of missing it, and the consequences is very severe and it's eternal, so we don't want to miss it. It says, unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into his rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in his place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And again he limited a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God, and he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And so it says, labor to enter into that rest. It's not something you're just going to accidentally stumble into heaven. It's going to take some determination, just like Pastor was speaking a minute ago. And we got to keep faithful to the Lord. And just like Paul did, you know, whatever came his way, he didn't let it bother him. It's like water rolling off a duck's back. He just kept on going. And he had seen into heaven. He had seen a vision, and he knew what awaited him on the other side. He was looking forward to getting there, and there was nothing going to keep him out. And we have loved ones. Brother Mike and Sister Ellen recently went on to be with the Lord, and I look forward to that time, you know, when we get to go also, and we'll get to see him again, be reunited with them. And we just don't want to get lax along the way and not listen to the Lord's voice. You know, we don't heed the Holy Spirit's warnings and his speaking to us. We got to keep that Holy Spirit guidance going in our life in order to make it there. In Philippians 4 and 13, says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I think I've got it wrote down. I'm in the wrong spot here. Anyway, the Lord is talking about how Paul, he said he forgot those things behind. He kept pressing towards the mark. He kept going on, and, you know, he didn't focus on things where things didn't go right or anything like that, didn't get discouraged and quit, but he just kept forgetting those things behind and kept pressing towards the mark of Christ Jesus, that goal ahead, and he kept going on. And Hebrews 3 and 7, says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, and proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, what is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. And some of them, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So it's very possible to get into the race and begin and not finish. So we got to stay faithful to the Lord and keep pressing on and not forgetting what he's already done for us and how he's helped us. You know, they seen some mighty miracles. The Lord parted the sea for them and brought them out, and the enemies many times were overcome when they were outnumbered. And, you know, this Lord was with them and gave them strength and provided for them in the desert there when there seemed like no provisions. The Lord just brought it out of nowhere, water out of a rock and different things, and manna falling from heaven. But yet it says many of them, they provoked him and they angered him, and their carcasses fell in the wilderness. Many of them didn't get to go into the promised land, and it says because of unbelief. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And if we get where we don't listen to the voice of the Lord speaking to us, the Holy Spirit, we start making our own decisions and going our own way, we can also drift away just like they did there, and get ourselves in terrible consequences. In Psalms 95 and 7, it says, for if our God, and we are the people of his pasture, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways. Unto whom I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. And that would be very sad, you know, knowing all awaits us on the other side, and we not finish our race and not make it home. And there would be more severe judgment for the people that know to do good and don't do it than those that are ignorant of God's word and disobey him. So there would be even greater punishment. In Isaiah 57:20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And their conscience is always pricking them. They know what is right, and there is no peace inside, inward or outward, when we walk away from the Lord, we're not keeping his commandments. But when you are in right standing with the Lord, you know you're walking in his commandments and doing what he said. That is a different story. You know that peace that comes in like a river, and you don't have to worry about where you're going, or if something happens to you, you know where you're going to go. In Revelations 14:9, it says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, whosoever receiveth the mark in his of his name. So it's during the tribulation period. Many people will be forced to take that mark or be killed, beheaded, or however they want to do it. You know, they'll lose their life if they don't take that mark. But those that do, there's going to be eternal judgment. It says they'll have no rest day or night, and that worship the beast in his image. And be much better to lose your life and go be with the Lord and be over in an instant and then be with him for eternity than to take the easy route out at that time and then not end up where you want to be for eternity. And also Revelations 20 and 10, we know the enemy, it says where he's going to end up. It says, and the devil that deceived him was cast to the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So there's no rest for the wicked, those that disobey God and turn away from him and go their own way. There's going to be no rest forever. And but for the Christian, when we enter into that rest, once we finish our course, you know, we will have that eternal rest. It's nothing else we'll have to endure along the way. It's, you'll know no more sickness, no more death, no pain, no more sorrow. Many things awaiting us. It's going to be a reward for those that are faithful and make it all the way. But I guess the gist of my message here tonight is just finish your course and stay true to God and not quit listening to him, not disobey his word and get away from what he wants us to do, because there will be terrible consequences. But for those that are faithful, he will reward you accordingly.
Praise the Lord. Could I have someone to the piano again this evening? Praise our God. Amen.